Ever feel like you're trying to build a rocket ship with like duct tape and willpower when it comes to like forming good habits, you know?
Oh, tell me about it. That's painfully accurate.
Today we are diving deep into Atomic Habits by James Clear to help, well, you, the listener, finally make those habits stick.
It's a good one.
Yeah, you sent in some notes about this one.
I did.
So I'm guessing you've got some thoughts.
Yeah, this book is practically a phenomenon, and for good reason. What I find so fascinating about Clear's approach is this emphasis on systems over goals. It's not about, mustering motivation for this like big sprint. It's about how do you design an environment where good habits are practically inevitable?
I love that because who hasn't set a goal with the best intentions, right? Only to like fall off the wagon a few weeks later. Clear's Atomic Habits idea, though. The tiny changes that compound over time,
Yeah.
that really speaks to me.
It's deceptively powerful. Clears uses this incredible example of the British cycling team.
Okay.
They adopted this marginal gains philosophy, making like minuscule tweaks to everything, their bike seats, their sleep routines, even, get this, the type of paint on their bikes.
Wait, what kind of paint they used mattered that much?
Apparently. See, they weren't aiming for this dramatic overhaul. They focused on getting just 1% better in all these tiny areas. The result, they swept the Olympics, smashing world records along the way.
Okay, that's giving me chills.
Right.
It's like that saying, a 1% improvement each day adds up to almost 38% over a year. But how do we actually measure those 1% improvements? And what about when it's not as tangible as, say, cycling times?
That's where Clear gets really interesting. He argues that simply tracking your progress, no matter how small, can be incredibly motivating. It gives you visual proof that you're moving in the right direction.
And that ties into his whole point about identity shaping our habits, right?
Exactly. We often set goals based on who we think we should be, not who we truly are. Clear suggests we shift our focus to building an identity that aligns with our desired habits.
So instead of saying, I'm trying to be more organized, you'd say, I am an organized person. Does simply changing your self-talk really make a difference?
It's more than just talk. It's about aligning your actions with your self-perception. And Clear provides a bunch of practical techniques for this. For example, instead of just saying you're organized, you could create a visible system for managing your tasks. The act of setting up that system reinforces your identity as an organized person.
So you're literally seeing yourself embody that identity in a tangible way.
Right.
That's really cool. Now, Clear also talks about the four-step habit loop, right?
Yes.
Cue, craving, response, reward. It feels a bit like a science experiment for your brain.
It kind of is. And just like any good experiment, understanding these stages is key to manipulating the outcome.
Okay.
In this case, making the habit stick. Let's break it down, shall we? First, you have the cue, which is the trigger that initiates the habit.
Like seeing your running shoes by the door might trigger the urge to go for a run.
Perfect example. Then comes the craving, which is the desire you feel to engage in the habit.
That feeling of, ugh, I really should go for a run, or man, I could really go for a burger right now, depending on the habit. It's like that internal debate, right? Between your motivated self and your comfy couch-loving self.
Exactly. And the outcome of that debate often depends on the next stage, the response. This is the actual habit itself, the
Yeah.
action you take.
So lacing up those running shoes and heading out the door, or ordering the burger.
Precisely. And finally, we have the reward. This is that positive reinforcement that tells your brain, hey, let's do that again.
That feeling of accomplishment after a good run, or, you know, the satisfaction of a delicious meal. Okay, so how do we use this habit loop to our advantage? Let's go back to those British cyclists for a second. They didn't just randomly change things, right?
You're right. Clear outlines what he calls the four laws of behavior change,
Okay.
based on each stage of that habit loop. Make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, and make it satisfying. These laws, they provide a framework for sort of hacking our habits.
So the cyclists switching to a different type of paint. That would fall under making it attractive, right?
Yes.
Even if it's just like a tiny aesthetic improvement, it could boost their morale, maybe.
Exactly. It's all
Yeah.
about associating the habit with these like positive feelings. And Clear dives deeper into this whole making habits attractive idea with this fascinating strategy called temptation bundling.
Oh, yeah, he talks about that in the book.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
like only letting yourself watch your favorite show while you're on the treadmill. You're linking something you want to do with something you need to do.
Right. You're essentially making that desired behavior more appealing by linking it to something inherently enjoyable.
Yeah.
But it's not just about that immediate reward. Clear also stresses the importance of making habits satisfying in the long run, too.
Which brings us back to celebrating those small wins, right? Like, I might not feel a huge difference after one day of eating healthy, but if I, like, track my progress and I acknowledge that small victory, it makes it more likely I'll keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Celebrating small wins, it triggers the release of dopamine, which then reinforces that behavior.
Yeah.
Makes us want to repeat it.
It's a little brain hack.
It is, like giving ourselves a mini high five every time we move a step closer to our goals.
And that sense of accomplishment over time, it becomes intrinsically motivating.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Clear also emphasizes that our environment plays this crucial role in shaping our habits, often, I think, more than we realize.
Oh, right. He talks about how, like, if you're trying to eat healthier, having a bowl of fruit on the counter is more effective than hiding it away in the crisper drawer, out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. It's about making that desired behavior the easiest option. If healthy snacks are the most visible and accessible, you're way more likely to grab them.
So it's not just about willpower.
No.
It's about designing your environment to work with your brain's natural tendencies, not against them.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to all sorts of habits. Want to read more? Make sure your book is always within reach. Want to practice guitar? Don't keep it tucked away in its case.
It's about reducing that friction.
Yeah.
Those little mental hurdles we face when we're trying to do something new or challenging.
And on the flip side, increasing the friction for those undesirable habits.
Right.
Want to spend less time on social media?
Mm.
Delete those apps from your phone, or at least, I don't know, make them less accessible.
Speaking of making things easier, what about the story from the book? The one about the guy who starts his fitness journey by just going to the gym and staying there for 5 minutes. That always blows my mind.
Right. He wasn't even working out at first. He'd just show up, maybe read a magazine and leave. But by simply showing up consistently, he built the habit of going to the gym. And eventually, he started working out.
It's like he tricked his brain into associating the gym with something positive, even if it was just the act of being there.
Exactly. And that's a powerful takeaway for anyone feeling overwhelmed by this prospect of making big changes. You don't have to go from zero to hero overnight. Start small, focus on consistency, and let those small wins compound over time.
Okay, so we've talked about making habits obvious, attractive, easy, and satisfying. But what about the flip side? How do we break bad habits? It feels like those are always lurking around the corner, ready to sabotage our progress. So breaking bad habits, they can feel like, you know, like those weeds that just keep popping back up no matter how many times you, like, try to pull them out.
It's true. Those bad habits can be persistent. But the good news is Clear's framework. It applies here, too, just in reverse.
Okay.
So instead of making it obvious, attractive, easy, and satisfying, you want to make that bad habit invisible, unattractive, difficult, and unsatisfying.
So, like, if I'm trying to, say, cut back on, like, mindless scrolling before bed, I could use one of those, like, app blockers to make my phone basically useless after a certain time.
Exactly. You're making that bad habit a lot more difficult to, you know, to indulge in. And remember that whole identity piece we talked about? That's really crucial for breaking bad habits, too.
You mean, instead of saying, I'm trying to quit snacking after dinner, I'd say, I'm someone who eats healthy and nourishes their body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about shifting your self-perception to align with the changes you want to make.
Yeah.
And remember, this is a journey. It's not like a destination. You're not going to achieve perfect habits overnight. There will be, you know, slip-ups along the way.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone has those moments where they, you know, reach for the cookie jar instead of the fruit bowl. It's what you do after the slip-up that matters.
Right. 100%. Don't let one small misstep, you know, derail all your progress. Acknowledge it. Learn from it. And then get right back on track. Remember those British cyclists? Mm-hmm. They didn't achieve Olympic glory without facing their share of setbacks. What set them apart was their commitment to the process, those tiny improvements day after day.
And ultimately, that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, being perfect. It's about showing up consistently, making those small, you know, positive choices and trusting that they'll compound over time.
Well said. Atomic Habits, it isn't just some book about, like, productivity or self-improvement. It's like a blueprint for designing a life we can be proud of, one small habit at a time.
It's been fascinating, you know, diving deep into these ideas with you. And for you listening, we hope this has given you a fresh perspective on the power of small changes. Remember, you don't have to overhaul your entire life today. Just pick one small habit, maybe even use one of Clear's techniques and see what happens. You might be surprised by the ripple effect it creates.